Hello, Market Watcher. I'm David Revell, and this is Value Side Midday. Stocks, oil, and cryptos are all up at the moment. Gold and bonds currently down. But then we really need to talk about that Michigan Survey of Consumer Sentiment, and we'll do that just ahead. Back in the 1940s, Professor George Katona at the University of Michigan laid out a plan to measure the current attitude of consumers in our economy. And for the next 60 or 70 years, the university has conducted each month a detailed survey of the consumer, asking a battery of skillfully developed questions. Now today you may have heard that the headline that consumer sentiment was down slightly from last month. And while that's true, a quick review of the data here reveals a very different America than that headline implies. Let's begin with the top line. Consumer sentiment did decline to 71.4 from September's 72.8. Nothing major here, although Wall Street was a little surprised that it was a decline. They expected that consumers were feeling better about things, and in fact, it turned out their feelings were only slightly worse. But let's dig some more. Consumers generally feel that we're doing pretty good at the moment. Current conditions estimated at 77.9, a level that you would expect in a growing economy where everything is working well. Let's turn the page. How do consumers see the future? This is where things really start to fall off the turnip cart. Future conditions, according to the survey, will be substantially worse than they are now. A 10-point drop in consumer estimates for the future. They're telling us that this economy is declining, and declining badly. But wait, there's more. Consumers also see the largest uptick in inflation since 2008. Okay, that makes sense and to be expected. But now the real piece de resistance. Our current economic policy. This is a direct measure of how the president and his administration is meeting the economic challenges of the country. Now, this has always been a disaster for President Biden. His high watermark so far is only 31 on a 100-point scale. But I've never seen a number even approaching his October reading. The president's economic policies rate a 19 by the average American. This is troubling in so many ways. I remember living through the disaster that was Watergate at the end of the Nixon term in the White House. For investors, that 74-75 bear market was one of the worst ever. Let's hope we don't see that repeat. So to bring you up to date on the markets, stocks are all up, with the Dow trading nearly 300 points higher. Interestingly, we have two of the big five trading lower right now as both Microsoft and Facebook are down. Gold and bonds are also lower. And Bitcoin has risen above $60,000 again, now settled slightly below that mark. So stay tuned for today's market comment. Who gained from the lockdown? Well, it was just over a year ago that this nation was going through one of the most difficult periods in our history. We were told that a rampant pandemic was loose in the country and that we should self-quarantine, that non-essential businesses should close. In short, that our lives would be turned upside down. For some of us, those disruptions continue until this day. Now that we've had some distance put between those times, we're starting to see the full ramifications of that economic lockdown, and there are some startling results. In just a few minutes, the U.S. Census Bureau will report on the latest September retail sales for the country. But even before today's report, we see that there were some big winners and losers in the lockdown. Now, the hardest hit in the lockdown were the small businesses, the independent shops and stores that could not survive the closure. Many went out of business, and the highest number that I've seen was an estimated 500,000 independents who closed for good. Unfortunately, we did not keep official records of just how many small businesses did go bankrupt. But we do keep track of the aggregate income for retailers during that time, and it dropped by $16 billion in that devastating second quarter of 2020. The good news here was that what happened was that a pent-up demand was created. Consumers put off their purchases until after it was declared safe to leave their homes. Then they exploded in their shopping, with retail sales a year later, in the second quarter, jumping by an incredible $122 billion. So for the retailers who were able to weather last year's lockdown, this year has been much better. And we'll get to see just how much better with that release of September's numbers in just a few minutes. But this is only a look at regular brick-and-mortar mom-and-pop stores and businesses. What about the online retailers? How did Amazon and all the other internet retailers do during the lockdown? Answer: lockdown was simply the best of all possible times for e-retailers. Internet retail business jumped by an incredible 43%, with Amazon and the rest raking in a mind-numbing $49 billion extra. By far the best quarter ever for online shopping. Their problem now, for the online crew, is how to maintain that increase. And that looks to be problematic, as the numbers indicate that the American shoppers want to return to actual physical stores to see and touch, and maybe even try on, the goods and clothes that they want to purchase. Now turning to today's release, retail sales have been released for September, and it showed an increase of 0.7%. Perhaps this indicates a willingness on the part of the American consumer to return to a more normal shopping environment. After all, this consumer does represent about 2/3 of our economic activity in this country. And remember, it's just 71 days until the biggest shopping event of them all, Christmas. And that's the value sign for Friday, October 15. I'm David Revelle. Please join me in praying that our country may get back to work.